scripture this morning from Romans chapter 1 and from Galatians chapter 1. So after you've marked your Bibles in Romans chapter 1, please turn over to Galatians chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in just a moment. Be washed of our sins and cleansed and be made whole and healed. And that Lord Jesus, that same Jesus that Peter told the Roman cohorts there they had murdered, is the same Jesus who rose after 3 days and walked out of the tomb, guaranteeing and promising that there is life after death. Now, a lot of times we think about this thing of death as the end of the line for us. And we've been to enough funerals and enough funeral homes that we understand what death really is. Death is a passing. It's not the end of your life. Once a person dies or goes through that physical death here on earth, they are reborn. The instant they die, the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye, they wake right back up. And at that point, that's where they're going to be taking one of two roads. They're either going to be taking a road to hell and eternal punishment in the lake of fire, or they're going to be taking that other road, and they're going to be going to heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people talk about, well, there's more than one way to get to heaven. According to the Bible, there's only one way to get to heaven. Jesus said it best. I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man can come to the Father except through me. If you're counting on your goodness, or if you're counting on your morals, if you're counting on your mother's religion, if you're counting on any other religion, if you're counting on anything other than Jesus Christ to become saved and go to heaven when you pass, you're going to come up way short, I'm afraid. Because the Bible is very, very open about that. There's only one road, and the pluralistic secular thought is that all roads lead to heaven, but only one road leads to heaven, and that's through the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that gospel says that those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Now, I don't believe that just means that you can have an awareness of a man named Jesus Christ. I believe that we all have an awareness of Jesus Christ, that he existed 2,000 years ago, and that he walked the earth, and he preached, and he was crucified, he rose again. We all have a knowledge of that person, of that man. But what I believe the Bible is saying here when it indicates that we are to believe in Christ Jesus is that we are to actually believe in him, trust in him, and put our faith in him. Faith is something that you can't see. Faith is having a confidence in things unseen. And so we can't see Jesus today. I haven't seen him in the flesh, but I've seen him in the spirit. And I see him in my mind's eye, and I see him in the pages of the Bible, which is God's word. God loved us so much that he realized that mankind was going to need a Savior. The reason he knew that mankind was going to need a Savior is because God can look on the inward part of a man. He can look on the inside and see what we are thinking, see what we're doing, see what we're made of. He sees our sin. Remember, each of us was born into a sin nature. It's easy for us to sin. It comes completely natural for us. Anything that is rebellion against God is sin. And so we know then all about sin. God knew that man was going to need a Savior. Not only did he provide a plan, he also provided the sacrifice. He provided his sacrifice, his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that day, 2,000 years ago, when he hung on that cross and his life's blood was shed, then that sacrifice for your sin and my sin was paid in full. There's only one way to accept it, and that's through faith and believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just going to church and just singing songs and just praying is not going to get it done. You need to have a personal relationship with Christ Jesus. Between you, He has to become more than just another historical icon. You know, George Washington is a historical icon. Abraham Lincoln is a historical icon, but believing in them and knowing that they existed is not going to help you. And the same thing applies with Christ Jesus. Just knowing that they existed by what we read out of the historical books of the Bible and other accounts of Jesus is not going to help you. We have to have a personal relationship with Him. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ will change your life. It'll change the way you are. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. We become new creatures in Christ Jesus, completely changed. This thing of our behavior, then, it becomes a thing of sanctification. You don't get good enough and then get saved. You get saved, and then you become good enough by the transformation that God does in your life. The first thing that He does when God saves you is He changes your stinking thinking. He changes your mind. He puts in you the mind of Christ Jesus. He puts in your heart the Holy Spirit. Now, any person who has been saved has the Holy Spirit inside of them. And they have a new mind, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, that does not mean that your flesh is not going to take back over sometime and lead you back into fleshly things, or what I call sometime the Burger King syndrome, which is, I'm going to have it my way. I want to satisfy my flesh, and I'm going to do things the way I want to do it. When God has changed you and Christ Jesus has given you a new mind, you think in terms of a Christian. You think in terms of what's right and what's wrong, what's moral, what's evil, and the Holy Spirit will point those things out to you. Sometimes the problem is our flesh will override what the Holy Spirit is telling us. Sometimes those addictions that we've had for so long and those wants and those desires that we want to participate in, whatever they may be, are so strong that they will override your flesh. They will not override the Holy Spirit, but the flesh in you, and then you'll revert back and go back to some of these old things. That does not mean that you're not saved. It just means that you are a fallen Christian that you have got off track. So, and of course, we know that God is a on-time God. He's an all-the-time God. And He has never abandoned us and never forsaken us. He'll always be there for us whenever we need Him and whenever we turn back to Him. This is what the Apostle Paul taught, what he preached. It's how he lived his life. Can you imagine going around the nation of Palestine and that region and preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in a pagan world? Now, we live in the United States of America today. I'm going to just say it like it really is. This is not a Christian nation anymore. This is not a Christian nation anymore. We talk about that America is a Christian nation. Now, let me give you some truth here. About 80%, according to most research polls, about 80% of the people in America say that they believe in God, and only about 20% live it. Only about 20% actually attend church, go to church, participate in the Christian faith, take communion, pray, read the Bible, and have given their hearts to Christ Jesus. Now that's what we hear. Every time you ask somebody, are you a Christian? Sometimes they'll tell you no. Sometimes, most of the time, they'll just tell you, oh, yes, I am. But that may not always be the case. To be a Christian, you have to have put your faith and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ to a point to where you are ready to follow Him anywhere He leads you. If that is into death, then that is into death. If it's into life, it's into life. That you will follow and trust in the Lord Jesus completely. Completely. Not a part-time Christian, not a Sunday morning Christian, but all the time Christian. Where Apostle Paul was as he went through Palestine preaching the gospel. He took the gospel very, very serious, and he understood the depravity of man. Now, depravity means that a person is lost in their sin, in their wickedness, in their evilness. They're lost. They're going to suffer the wrath of Almighty God on the day of judgment. The depravity means that they are completely helpless to help themselves. They can't help themselves. Did you know you just can't change the future? Only God can. And the way that we can change our future as to where we spend eternity is if we trust and put our faith and confidence totally and completely in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the Apostle Paul did as he went around preaching the gospel. You know, Paul preached in a pagan world, much like America today. He preached in a world where people rejected the gospel. They didn't want to hear it. Now, the Bible says over in Galatians that the Bible says that the world that Paul lived in resisted the gospel. They resisted Christ Jesus just like they do in America today. Now, the reason that I can tell you that is because I've heard a lot of people tell me to my face, I don't know the gospel, I don't know anything about Jesus, and I don't want to have anything to do with Christ Jesus. So I know that the gospel is rejected in America today. Now, why do people reject the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe the main thing is because it requires them to make an important decision about their life. They are going to have to change their life, change the way they think, change the way they live, if they're going to become a child of God and become a Christian. You got to throw away all those old things that you had, and you got to embrace all the new things that come into your life and into your heart. So people resist the gospel because it is confrontation to them. It is offensive to them. And Paul preached that gospel. Do you know that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, he said that I come not to bring peace, but a sword. Now, what he was talking about there, he was talking about he's bringing something that's going to cut like a sword. It's going to be a divider. It's going to require that you make a decision. You can't straddle the fence anymore. You can't play both sides against the middle anymore. You can't live in church on Sunday morning and live with the wicked through the week. Jesus was making a statement there about the gospel. You're going to have to get off of the fence. You're going to have to decide which way you're going to go. Are you going to take the road that leads to destruction and wrath of God, or are you going to take the road that leads to heaven and the blessings of God? I did not come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. The gospel, if you will, is offensive. You don't believe it? Go out there on the street corner and start preaching it. Go over to the Middle East and stand on a street corner and preach the gospel and mention the name of Jesus and see how long your head stays on your shoulders. You see, there's a lot of people in the world who hate the gospel. They hate everything that Jesus stands for, and they are determined to destroy that. That doesn't just happen in Iran and Iraq and places like that. It happens right here in the good old USA. It's happening every day. It's coming about in our neighborhoods, coming about in our, on our televisions, radios, the news media, anti-Christian, anti-Jesus. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely offensive to those who are lost. The Bible puts it this way. To those who are lost, the gospel is foolishness. But to those who are saved, it is the power unto God. Amen. I take it as power. I take it as a good, solid foundation for my life. I take it as a good starting point. I don't want to live my life in chaos. I tried that. I don't want to live my life halfway in the church and halfway out. That brings about chaos, destruction, and confusion. You might as well be all the way out of the church or out of the Christian faith if you're going to live like that. Now let me tell you where, you need to get this right. Let me tell you where rejection of the Lord Jesus will take you. It'll take you down a road of pain and suffering. Now, there's a lot of people in the world today who are trying to live on straddling the fence. Now, they're having to live with some serious, serious trauma in their life. They're having to live with addictions. They're having to live with broken families. They're having to live with trauma and sin in their life. Up and down, in and out of the Leon County Jail, in and out of the courthouse. Do you know what? A Christian, a God-centered Christian should never have to hire an attorney. Amen. You should never have to have the court to appoint you attorney. You should never have to spend your money for an attorney. And the reason is because your advocate, your attorney, is Jesus Christ. He's always there for you. He's already declared that you're guilty, but that he's going to take your punishment and his sin upon himself. There's no reason to be going to court. There's no reason to be standing at the great white throne of judgment after you pass. There's two places that you're going to have to stand, one or two. You're going to have to stand at the great white throne of judgment if you're a sinner. And God's going to dispense his wrath upon you for the way that you lived your life. Or the Bible says you'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ, which is not judgment, and it is not the wrath of God. That's where Christians go, and then to be ushered on into heaven. And so the point that I'm trying to make today is that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is powerful. It is powerful unto salvation. If we look at 1 Corinthians, we find where the Apostle Paul also wrote that those who reject the gospel find it foolishness. Those who accept the gospel and who are saved, it's the power of God and salvation. Let's look at what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Now remember that Apostle Paul was writing to the Roman church in Rome. It was a pagan world. It was a Roman world. It was where the emperor declared himself to be God and where he required people to bow down and worship him. It was a philosophical world of if it feels good, do it. Do whatever you want. Whatever satisfies your flesh, that's what you should do. And so he was writing to a pagan world, but he was writing to a Christian church in a pagan world. And verse number 16, chapter 1 of Romans says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Paul is not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's willing to stand up for it. He's willing to die for it. There are people here in this century that has been required, their lives have been required of them because they would not reject the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their faith was so strong that they were willing to die for what they believed. If you study the history of the Apostle Paul, he was run out of Thessalonica. He was laughed at in Corinth. He was beaten and left for dead in Galatia. He had all kind of problems and troubles, but he still stood by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that he preached, and he would not. Turn over to Galatians chapter 1 real quickly. We're going to be looking at what Paul said here about the gospel to the Galatians. Now, the church at Galatia, that which he had written this letter to, was a group of people, a church that had gotten on fire for the Lord. They had gotten saved. And then as soon as Apostle Paul left that region, what was known as Judaizers or legalists began to move into the church and plant seeds of corruption in the church. They were telling the Christians that you have to be circumcised and that you follow the festivals and all of the law in order to be saved inside the church. They were trying to mix the two together, Judaism and Christianity. And Paul was writing a letter here repudiating that. Paul says in chapter 1, "Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world." Remember, I told you that Apostle Paul lived in an evil world, the same way that we do in his time. In that present day, it was an evil place. It was a pagan place. Same thing it is here. People have all kind of things pulling at them here in America, in this world that we live in present times. We got television sets, internet monitors, radios, who sit in our homes, in our living rooms, and our children sit in front of them and watch them, that teaches and emphasizes evil. You can go on the internet and you can learn how to make a bomb. You can learn how to make meth. You can do all kind of things you can find out there on the internet. The internet is not a bad thing. It's the way that it's used that can turn out to evil ways. The internet is a good thing, in my opinion. Our televisions can be good things, but what we're seeing on a television is our children and ourselves being made callous to creating crimes, to using weapons, pistols, shooting people on television. We were brought up with the cowboys and Indians shooting each other. It was very callous. It was killing people. And then a lot of the television programming today, it's people in modern times doing that. We wonder, why do our 14 and 15 year old children get arrested and taken down to the jail or the juvenile center, and they find a pistol in their pocket. Well, because that's what society teaches them. That's the way they're being brought up. That's the way they're taught. They stand on the street corners and they sell drugs. They do all kinds of things at ages 12, 13, 14. And they're doing all kinds of sorts of things and situations that satisfying their flesh, doing what they want to, leading to a life of frustration and anger and struggles. Now, let me tell you something, friends. Some of you and some of our dear church members have spent some time in prison. A lot of our members have. And have turned to Christ, thankfully. So that's old history back in the rear view mirror. So I don't want to go there again. But I will got to tell you this. It is just heartbreaking to me to see our children running up and down the streets playing on Sunday morning and listening to the street being brought up in the street, knowing that where their future is and what's going to happen to them in their future. They're going to be taking one of those rides on one of them white buses sometime. Their life can be destroyed by addiction, drugs, all sorts of trauma. I love seeing children walk through that door on Sunday morning and other doors in other churches on Sunday morning, because I know when they go through that door, they're going to the back with a teacher that's going to give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they listen to it and God plants a seed in their heart and they grow, they got a future. They got a future without trauma. They've got a future that can be productive and can be good. Not only children, but us adults also. The Apostle Paul preached that we could have a life change even as adults. After we have made a mess of our lives, after we've made a complete mess, and been traumatized and heaping all of these things upon ourselves, we still can be changed, because the Apostle Paul says that Christ provides a way. Verse number 5, to whom be glory forever and ever. Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. We have people in America today that's perverting the gospel of Christ. We got people in the world today that's teaching the gospel the way that men wants it taught. Paul said in another that there'll be a time when men will have their preachers to tickle their ears, to tell them what they want to hear. Tell them anything, just as long as it'll make me feel good. That's being taught in a lot of our churches. Thank God there's still a few men that'll preach and teach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ the way it is. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed, as we said before. So say I again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. What Paul's saying is here is, God didn't call me to make you feel good. Amen. Let me tell you something now. A lot of people have got this idea that the church or the preacher is supposed to make you feel good. That the church is supposed to make you happy. That's not true. The church is here to preach the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like Paul says, not here for any other reason. It's not here to preach any other thing. It's not here to preach feel-goodism. It's not here to preach the prosperity gospel, which is telling everybody whatever they want to hear. God, you ain't going to have to pay your light bill no more. God's going to give you everything on a silver platter. That draws a big crowd. That sounds good, and that satisfies people's flesh, and they want to hear that. I'm going to tell you the truth about this thing now. Listen to me. The Bible teaches this, that you are a sinner born into sin, and the only way for you to get clean, the only way for you to be pass from wrath into righteousness is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not on a Sunday morning feel-good session. It's living for Christ Jesus and making Christ Jesus decisions in your life every single day, day in and day out. If you get frustrated, don't quit. If it's overwhelming to you, don't give up. Whatever you do, when you start this road with Christ Jesus, remember that God will never forsake you or never leave you. Stay faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay faithful to the church. Stay faithful. It's hard. It's offensive sometimes. It's not the fun thing to do. It'll drive a lot of your friends away from you. Drive a lot of your family members away from you. But be true to the Lord Jesus Christ. Be true to yourself. God can change your life, but you've got to change your ways. You have got to be the one to change the way you think. And I got to tell you something, you'll never change the way you act until you change the way you think. Once you get the stinking thinker fixed up here, then your behavior can change. Amen? All right, let's pray now. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, that some of these words has fallen on hungry ears. People who are seeking after you, who are seeking after changing their lives, who want you in their life, and who want to change their way. They're tired of suffering, tired of going down that hard road. Lord, they want to take the good road, the easy road. And well, Lord, we know that's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Know that only you can provide that. God, I pray, Father, that you'll help them to find this road and, Father, to accept you as their personal Savior completely. Not just be a Sunday morning Christian, Father, but be someone who will be faithful to you always and always. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you don't know somebody, walk up and stick a hand out and say hello to them. Amen.